28 herds there, their average cost per female is $515 a female. 26 herds in this region 1 and 2 area. Characteristically defining that region of Texas, those are cows that are going to be run on improved pastures. How many of you think cows on improved pastures can pay for $600 a ton fertilizer? Ooh, boy, that's pretty tough, isn't it?
Stan, help us out. We're the herds in 1 and 2, small herds, and the herds out in region 5, big herds. What was the herd size difference?
Traditionally, you would think that would be the case, but there's big herds and there's small herds in both cases. Okay, the average for all these 56 herds, I'll tell you, is 412 females. But I'll tell you, there's big herds in one, there's big herds in another. And when I say big, I mean more than 1,000. There's small herds in the neighborhood of 80 to 100 in both cases.
But they aren't all small herds in 1 and 2.
They're not all. That's a good point. They are not all small herds in one place. They're not all big herds in another place. They're a blend. Okay. 26 herds in regions 1 and 2, and that's I-35 running right about there. So you can pretty much say east of I-35 in Texas. 551.57 over that time period. Now, then, as Barry had pointed out, you can actually think of this in your own states, you know, and I'm not going to make any inference here, but western states where we're running on native-type country, other areas of the state or the other areas of the country where you're probably running on improved pastures. Okay, your stocking rate's a lot tighter, a lot looser over here. All 56 herds, $528 a female. That's for the 4-year average. Okay. What's all that made up of? Let's dig deeper. I know you guys, I did not put this slide in the first time I ran this data, but I know you guys would want to know it. Okay? You just can't stand not knowing the production differences, right? Yeah, but Stan, how big were the calves? Right? That's the question. How big did they wean off? Well, that's important, but it's going to shock you. Okay? Here's production numbers. 56 herds, they average acres per female of almost 13 acres. Region 1 and 2, about 9. Region 5, about 15. Not a lot of difference, but some difference. Okay. Percent owned land, well, in both cases and in the total herds, about half the land was owned. Okay. Percentage pregnancy. 87 over the 56, 87.6, 87.1. If I run a statistical analysis, that basically says there are no difference in those numbers. Okay. Weaning percentage, 81.4, 80.5, 83.7. Again, statistically, no difference there, but realistically, there is a couple of percentage points better on a weaning percentage for the region 5 than there is 1 and 2, but not that big a difference. Any 1 year gives you that much variability. All weaning weights, 517, 504 for region 1 and 2, 528 for region 5. Pounds per female, if I only had one number to look at from a production standpoint, it would be pounds weaned per exposed female. Okay, that number tells me everything about productivity for that ranch that I need to know from an analysis standpoint. Go ahead, Bruce.
The data set that I ran, it's almost 10 years ago now, 184 herds up in the northern plains. With you'd add some preg percent to this, and you'd add some weaning weight or weaning percentage, and add some, preg percents were in the low 90s, 92%. Weaning percents were more like 86 or 7, and pounds for female were a little bit higher up in the Dakotas, Nebraska, Wyoming, Montana. And so there are some regional differences. In Iowa, the Daryl Strobing's work, there's some improved, would even be heavier and probably higher preg rates. One thing that I think is, these haven't changed a lot over time.
No, they haven't.
Those graphs with those big steep slopes that Stan showed you on costs or price, that hasn't happened in production. These are really, I think Stan and I know the data pretty well. And the weaning percent in Texas, that spot number has not changed in 15 years.
No, it's there's enough data in it now that it's, I can pretty much tell you in the rolling plains of Texas, it's going to be 82.5%.
And what that tells us is that, and that's the same true, it's true up north too, that's really hard to move those. And from if it's 93 up north, it's not, you know, it's hanging in there in 93. And what that tells us is the environmental impact is just greater than anything we can do to push those numbers higher.
Absolutely.
And that's a real key point as we go along here. So.
Absolutely. That's the productivity of the numbers. Okay. So, again, if you really think about it, we've all gotten to the same production plateau, right? We're all up here on this one level. Now, don't get hung up on so much on the data, because if I sit down with you as an individual ranch, I would first want to identify where you're at today. Then we would start setting goals to move forward. Okay, if it's 82.5, is there some way I can get it up to 83 or 83.5? Making small incremental changes. That's the production numbers. Okay, now then what I want you to think about, and I know this is, oh, Stan, I don't want to think about this, man. This is terrible. Income statement. How many of you like doing income statements? Right? Hate, curse that banker for making me do that every year about this time, right? Balance sheet. Oh, my God. Don't want to do it. Now, think about an income statement, okay? This is what we're going to look at. Here are gross revenues for these 56 herds. What we have here is raised livestock and non-cash values, okay? So between those two, those would be your calf crop, okay? Raised livestock are actually livestock that you've raised, weaned, and then sold. Okay? Now, again, from a spall standpoint, you don't have to sell them at weaning, okay? But we will put a value on them at weaning. If you keep them as a stock or operation, that becomes a separate enterprise. The non-cash values are the value of your replacement heifers. Okay? We put a value on those as well. So if you want to think about the total income that my calf crop could generate, it's those two numbers added together. Okay? Just to show you some things, add those two together, you're ending up with about $480, roughly $476, roughly $486. Does that tell you something? Pretty much the same value, right? But again, productivity is the same, right? The only thing that could make that different would be what? The price you receive for them, right? Okay, well, let's jump down here. Average calf price received, $1.10, $1.11, $1.09. How many of you have ever heard cow-calf operators are price takers? Anybody ever heard that? I don't agree with it, but that's what they say. And I think there are things that we can do to offset that sum. Go ahead.
And this one really surprised me because I thought there'd be a basis difference there. I thought Region 5 being closer to the feedlots would be higher. The other thing is there'd be some breed differences, so that Region 1 and 2 would have more Brahma-influenced cattle, and I thought they'd be discounted more. I was surprised, Dave, when this calf price deal looked as even as it is. It's
quality of the cattle?
But it is still, this would indicate this is a real commodity market.
Yeah, yeah. Next one you've got, gains or losses, that would be the value of your cull females or your cull breeding stock. Okay? So if all of us tend to sell anywhere from 15 to 20% of cull or replacement rate. So this is the value of our replacement females that we're selling. Again, not that much difference, but, you know, 23, yeah, $2, 46, somewhere we're getting a little more value, and that, Barry, that may be the basis difference,
yeah.
Okay, where we have some pretty good cattle and plants,
yeah. Yeah.
In Region 5 versus 1 and 2. And then other income, I try to minimize the other income if it's not pertaining to the cattle. Some of us may have oil and gas, some of us may have gravel sales, blah, 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 wildlife. As much as I can, I cut that out because I just want to look at the females. I just want to look at the cow analysis. But in some cases, we don't. But you can see there's not a lot of difference there. 1003, 872, and 1066. So not a lot of difference there. So gross revenues, 512, 488, 545. You know, not a lot of difference there, but there is some. How many of you want 30 more bucks a female? We all do. Okay, there you go. Coal female price, coal bull prices, basically the same straight across the board. So again, Region 5, I'm not so much concerned about trying to show one region against the other as I am trying to just show you the entire data set. So $513 for the entire 56 herds. All right, now then, back to $560, or that $550. What is that? What's your greatest cost running a female? I heard feed. How many of you think it's feed? I'm here to tell you it's probably not. Okay? It's probably not. Here are the cost ranked. Number one, all labor and management, $85. $111 here, $62 there. Hired labor makes up 58 of that. Owner labor makes up 25 of that. Now, not everybody runs with a hired ranch manager, do they? A lot of us do it ourselves. Remember I asked you earlier, how many of you write yourself a check? Okay. If you don't write yourself a check, I'm going to make you put something in there as an owner labor, because you're not just doing it for giggles. Okay? If you are, you're probably Steinberger. You got other income coming somewhere else. Okay? And then I'm not necessarily sure that I need to be working with those type of operations. I want the guys that's commercial operations. Okay? Small or large, I don't care. But I do want you doing it for a living. Owner labor, 25. Hired labor, 58. Kind of works out to be 85, 25, 35, 26. Now, so what that's telling me is somewhere on regions 1 and 2, I'm having to hire a lot of labor. Now, whether that's a ranch manager or what else could that be? There you go. Putting up the hay. If I'm not willing to drive that baler, ride the swather, put up the hay, I'm probably going to have to hire somebody to do that for me. Okay? So again, that's one major area that probably the labor costs are going to be higher over there if you're not willing to do that yourself. Here, these guys are pretty much doing it on their own. I'll tell you the hired labor part, a lot of that is day labor, where they're bringing in somebody for the calf weaning, calf branding, whatever. Labor number one of this data set. Now, I'm not saying it's the case for everything, but there's a real strong probability that labor cost is probably your highest cost. You just don't recognize it to be. Okay? Number two, depreciation. Again, it's like I said earlier. I've never seen a ranch that has operated without assets. You got to have assets, and if you got assets, you got depreciation. Now then, this brings up a great point here. How many of you really delved into President Bush's new economic package that hadn't quite got passed yet? What's Section 179 going to? How many of you know what Section 179 is before Brenda? Section 179 says if you got adequate income and meet a few things, you can write off. This year it was $125,000. In expenses. What happens to that? Where does it show up on your tax stuff? Guess what? It shows up on your depreciation schedule as depreciation. So you can, in 1 year, you can really screw up your depreciation schedule. Now, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong.
You can lower taxes.
I can lower my taxes. Good point, Barry. Gosh, I can shoot up my expenses in 1 year. And what I remember, if I'm correct, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, the economic package just says, and that's going to like $225,000. Anybody hear that? How many of you have $225,000 of stuff you want to buy and can't afford it? I don't either. Okay? So, the point I'm making here, this depreciation, guys, we're kind of going to start moving into some management issues. Okay? Do not use the depreciation that your tax accountant uses as an analysis for your cow-calf operation. It won't be right. Get your accountant, or you do it yourself, to run a simple depreciation, straight-line depreciation on your assets. Gives you a better idea, a better indication of what your assets are actually declining over the life of that asset. What we've tried to do on all these herds, and I'm not going to say we did it on all of them, but we tried to do it as best we could. We tried to take their depreciation schedules. I think my thing just laid out. We tried to take all their depreciation and their assets and put it back on a straight line depreciation basis. So the numbers you're seeing is more straight line than anything. Okay? So that's point for depreciation. You need to do it on straight line. I'm sorry, that is depreciating your cow too, yes. If she's purchased. Now, if she's raised, from a spall standpoint, we don't depreciate a raised female. We put values on them, we calculate gains and losses, but we don't depreciate. From a management standpoint, yes, depreciate your raised female. Yeah.
If you're going on GAAP accounting or managerial accounting, you're depreciating raised females.
Yes.
So
you should be. Okay. I don't have any problem going with IRS 7 years. I mean, I know we probably keep females 8 to 10. I don't have any problem using 7. I'd leave that up to the call.
Those guys who do 5 to 7.
Okay. Good questions. All right, so number one and number two, cost. All labor and depreciation. Again, those are the two that some people leave out. Those are the two that a lot of us don't think about. But when you put all your cost in there, there's an additional, in this case, $170 a female that it's costing.
And if you add that on to what Cattle Facts, if you go to the meeting tomorrow, or that we're in their meeting here before us, it about works out. Theirs is a survey data. They survey the membership and they get back what they get back. There's no, and that's great. They've been doing it a long time. It's probably after a long period of time. You know, for what they're measuring, it's probably pretty accurate. But it's not the same measurement. It's quite a bit lower than what we find when we do this kind of work.
Absolutely. All right. Now then, whoever said feed, you finally get there. Number three. Okay. And the interesting thing here. Look at the numbers. 71.5 for the 56 average, 72, and then 72.5. That kind of comes back to the production, doesn't it? We're basically all doing about the same thing. We just don't like to admit it. We're all out there on balers if we're on improved pasture. We're all out here feeding in the wintertime. We're all probably pretty much doing the same thing. Now, granted, how many different times? I'm not throwing any slurs at feed companies, but my God, how many different types of feed are there? How many are you feeding 20 versus 32s versus whatever? Okay. Yeah, there's differences there, no doubt about it.
In so, this line, though, Stan, mm-hmm. I think this is mostly mineral, salt, protein supplements.
Exactly, that's correct. That's correct. Is it working again?
Yeah, it's working.
Okay, so now then, you add the three top costs together. You're at 236, or you're almost a half of your total cow cost now, okay, with just three expenses. Now then, from a management standpoint, answer me this. Is it manageable in the short term or the long term? Labor, is that managed in the short term or long term?
Short.
A little bit of both. Okay, yeah, I can fire somebody immediately. That would be short term. None of us want to do that unless the guy's a jerk, right? None of us want to really fire anybody immediately. But for the most part, those are going to be longer term issues. What about depreciation? That's a long term issue. Okay? Yeah, I can sell the tractor or I can sell the pickup and all that. It makes it a short term issue. But really, the management, it becomes a long term issue. And those long-term things are the things that we really have problems with.
I think it's good news, and I was going to ask you to write down some things that I think are really important. Is this regional difference shows us that these folks can manage labor expenses differently, and we should learn from them.
Yep.
I think that's great news. I mean, there's $50 on a cow basis. There's $50 reduction in cow costs from one line. And these folks in Region 5 are doing it, you know, very well. They're just doing it well.
Where are you reaching out to Region 12 cattle?
That goes back to, if I back up right there on gains and losses, becomes a gain or loss on the sale of that female. Okay, what was her depreciated value less what my sale value was? I'm calculating the gain or loss. C. Variation of. You know, the question is, am I making any statements between good and bad producers? And really, Steve, I'm not. I'm not really making a call here. I mean, I could have sorted this data top to bottom, you know, by net income, and it would have showed us the same old things. I think if we rank these 1 through 56, divide them in thirds or quarters or however we normally do it, you know, I truly believe you would still see the same thing. Production levels would be the same. Price would pretty much be the same. It would come back to the cost.
And that's where we're going, Steve.
So. Okay. So back, let me see. All right, so the top three costs, you got almost 45% of your total cow cost now. All right, now we start getting into little things, okay? And this tends to deal with where I'm at, how far spread out am I, these little issues. Fertilizer cost. As you would expect, Region 1 and 2 has higher fertilizer costs. Region 5 does have some fertilizer, so apparently there's some herds in there that are, I would say are native country herds, but somewhere in there they're doing some fertilizer on improved pastures probably. But again, that's some difference there. Rents and leases, just no difference. Okay, 36 versus 34.